to Abraham. It's a great chapter on God's wisdom. As we go through that chapter in our scripture reading, it's good to be reminded of that wisdom that he has for us today. It's good to see everyone, and as already been mentioned, we appreciate those who are with us, especially our visitors, and we're glad that you're here, and I hope that our time now spent in God's Word will be beneficial and uplifting to all of us. There's one time in the Gospels where it is said of Jesus that he was moved with indignation. The word there means literally to be grieved inside to the point where you're indignant. You're very upset about what is going on. And there's one time where that is spoken of Jesus. And when you think about things that could make Jesus upset, you might be thinking about maybe a gross immorality, like the woman caught in adultery. But that's not what made him indignant. You might think that it was a obvious hypocrisy of the Pharisees, or maybe one of their human traditions that they were binding on others, but it wasn't that. That's not what made Jesus indignant. You might think that it was maybe one of something going on among his disciples. There were times when they argued among themselves or were doing other kinds of things, maybe showing little faith or something along those lines, but it wasn't that. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10, and let's see what it was that made Jesus indignant. Where when he saw what was going on, he was greatly troubled. And we talk about righteous indignation. This was something that angered him. And when you look at this situation, again, it wasn't sexual immorality or the Pharisees' hypocrisy or something going on among the disciples. You know what it was? It was some people who didn't want the children to come to him. Some children wanted to come to Jesus, and others weren't allowing that, and he was moved with indignation. And what that tells us is that there is something in these little children that are a lesson for us today. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 13, let's read together. And they were bringing unto him little children, that he should touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was moved with indignation, and said unto them, Suffer, or allow the little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall in no wise enter therein. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. Now, we've all been in situations, especially those of us as adults and those of us who are parents with children. We've been in that situation where when the little children are coming, as adults, there are situations where we would just rather they not come. So the disciples are probably thinking along the lines of, well, they're a nuisance, or they're jabbering and making too much noise, or they're scampering around. We've all been in that situation where as adults, we've, can you stay away a little bit? So they're thinking on an adult level about what little children might be doing, and they're going to be in the way, and this is an adult conversation, and it's us and Jesus, and this is for adults. Whatever, something was going on in their mind where they're like, well, we don't need the little children. And one time in the Gospels where it says Jesus was moved with indignation, it had to do with this very matter. So, we see then the importance of letting children come, and he wants them to come. This morning, I want us to consider a childlike trust in the Lord. I want us to consider that Jesus said here, and we're going to turn to Psalm 131 in just a minute. Short psalm. I want us to consider that Jesus said that we need to become like little children in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are some things that we need to be like that little children have. And as we grow up and become adults, sometimes we forget that. We're thinking about maturing and growing and getting older, and there are things that we need to be doing as adults. We're not thinking that we need to be like little children. In fact, we're going to learn this morning that that's the very thing we need to be like. You know, as we grow up, there are qualities in children that we need to leave behind. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I think as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." So we can think of what some of those things might be. Little children act in certain ways, and we need to grow up and mature and move past that. Okay? We need to move past immaturity. We need to move past that stage where it's pretty normal that you would be acting childlike. But now that we've grown up, when I became a man, Paul said, I put away childish things. It might be selfishness, it might be arguing and fussing and fighting, it might be a number of things. But I'm going to put all that away. But we learn from Jesus that as we get older, there are some childlike qualities that we need to keep in our life. There are childlike qualities that we need to maintain as we go through life. And when we become adults, we actually need to maintain these things. And the danger is that when we become adults, we leave these things behind. Because they're childlike. And I'm an adult now. I don't do that anymore. When in fact, we need to be doing that. On another occasion in Matthew chapter 18, if you'll turn with me there, Jesus actually outlines one specific childlike quality. And we're going to talk about that today. But in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So he mentions humility. We're going to talk about that and some other things. But here's an actual quality that children have that we need to have as adults. I want us to talk a little bit this morning about Psalm 131, if you'll turn with me there now. As we get up each day and as we face the different things that we have to face, I want us to face them the way the psalmist did here in Psalm 131, and that is with a childlike trust in the Lord. There are some things of little children that we need to have in our life. You know, our children have gotten older, and we haven't had the little toddlers scamping around the house like we used to. And those of you who are parents today that have older children, we almost forget what that's like. What reminded me of some of that recently was my grandson. When he comes by, I was like, oh yeah, that's what little children do. That's what they say. That's how they act. And I've been reminded of that. We forget about it when our kids get older. There are some childlike qualities that we forget about as we get older and as our kids get older. And we're reminded of that when the next generation comes along. In Psalm 131, you might have a title, "A Song of Ascents." Ascent means to go up. There were several psalms here, starting with Psalm 120 and running for 15 psalms, that the Jews would either sing or read or quote or meditate on as they were going up to worship in the temple in Jerusalem. And they are great psalms to read about us coming to worship God. Each of them has important qualities and characteristics. This one is the quality of childlike trust in the Lord. Let's read it together. It's attributed to David. Jehovah, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too wonderful for me. Surely I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in Jehovah from this time forth and forevermore. In this psalm, there are basically three verses with three points. This is the second to the shortest psalm, Psalm 117 being the shortest. And then there are about three psalms that have three verses. So the second shortest psalm. Each verse makes a point. I'm not going to be proud. I'm going to be humbled. Number two, verse two, I'm going to have a childlike trust in the Lord. And number three, I'm going to hope in the Lord. Now, if you read verse 1, and if this is attributed to David, you can think about maybe some times in David's life where he would have been tempted to be proud. One of the ones that comes to my mind is right after defeating Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, all of the people are praising David. You could see how that might puff him up or build him up. But he says in verse 1, I'm not going to be a proud person. And neither do I exercise myself in great matters. He's not talking about learning. He's not talking about getting a better education and learning more things and intricate things. He's talking about, I am not going to get into matters that I don't know about. Some things God has not told us about. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong to God. I'm not going to try to figure out things that God has not revealed. I'm not going to be proud. Verse 2, I'm going to be like a weaned child, and that's what we're going to focus on this morning. And then verse 3, we're going to hope in God. So let's consider this morning the things that we go through in life, the situations that we have to deal with. Let's approach them with a childlike trust in the Lord. Who is this weaned child? In Bible times, children were weaned from their mother around age 3. What we're talking about here is a small toddler that has just finished that nursing stage, and now they're going into the next stage of their life where they don't need their mother for that. They're going to begin to eat on their own. And so this is a small toddler that is still close to his mother, has just been weaned from his or her mother, but there is a close connection, and hence, from that close connection, there is contentment and peace, and someone who is just simply trusting in God. I'm like a weaned child in my spirit, David says. And that's what I want us to have this morning. Sometimes we try to face things in life in an adult manner when we need to be facing them in a childlike manner. Sometimes as we get older, we say, well, I'm too old for that attitude. I'm too old for that disposition. We're going to see 7 this morning. 7 things that children do with their mother that we need to be doing with God. The first one being, right here in this psalm, is humility. When the small child messes up, he or she says to his mother or her mother, Mommy, I'm sorry. Right? But when we get older, that's hard to do. I don't want to admit wrong. I don't want to say I'm sorry. But yeah, a little child just naturally does it. Mommy, I'm sorry. The first quality of a childlike attitude is humility. And when we do make those mistakes, and when we do those things we shouldn't do with God, our attitude needs to be humility. But the older we get, that's where the pride comes in, and that's where the defensive nature comes in.
And if we could just approach things with a childlike humility. You know, I'm sorry. And so when we come to the New Testament in James chapter 4 and verse 10, 1 Peter 5, we're familiar with these passages, that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Can we have that childlike humility? David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, and he's approached by Nathan in 2 Samuel 11, and he says, "Thou art the man." David says, "I have sinned." And he had that childlike humility. Can we have that today? What else do children have with their mother? You know, the little toddler with his or her mother is always at peace and at rest. Things going on in their life, and they'll run to mommy. "Mommy, I'm tired. Can I put my head on your shoulder?" Have you ever, sometimes you'll see this when you're out in public, you know, where there's big crowds of people and things, and you'll see a mother with a little toddler. I've seen this like at these theme parks and different things, and it's hot. You've been out all day. They're all tuckered out. They're red. They're hot. And they're just laying on their mother's shoulder, and they're just zonked out. They're at peace and at rest right up here on their mother. Not a care in the world. But when we become adults, we face difficult times with stress and strain and what am I going to do? And instead of just being at peace and at rest with God, I'm not suggesting to ignore problems or not deal with daily issues. I'm saying in our disposition, we need to have a childlike trust with God that God will take care of us. The little child is just at peace and at rest. God is a God of peace. I love those statements in the Bible about God is, God, a God of. Those are beautiful statements, and we serve a God that is a God of peace. Romans chapter 1 and verse 7 is one of many places. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, where Paul is talking about Christians being persecuted, he says, "You can rest with us when Jesus comes again." You can be at rest. This is persecuted Christians. We're not saying that just ignore life's problems. These are Christians that are being afflicted and persecuted. But Paul says you can rest. You can be at rest knowing that when Jesus comes, you'll be rewarded for your service. Can we have a childlike peace and rest? Can we go to bed at night with peace and rest? When we get older, yes, we have things that we need to deal with in adult ways. There are responsibilities and accountabilities. We're not suggesting that they're not. But when those things come along, can we face it with a childlike peace? And remain faithful to God and remain in service to God. You know, children, small toddlers with their mother, "Mommy, I love you." There's the little child trusts mommy. "Like a weaned child is my soul within me," the psalmist says. As adults, have we forgotten what it's to be like just to have humility and peace and hope and trust? As we get older, we
Well, I don't need God, and I don't need religion, and I don't need church, and I don't need the Bible. I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I can take care of my own problems. I'm going to deal with these things in an adult way. And so a lot of times it involves things like money and more of my own ingenuity and that type of thing. But we need to be putting our hope and trust in God. For to this end, Paul says, we labor and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all men. And then two chapters later, charge them that are rich not to be high-minded, nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who gives us all things richly. But when we become adults, some people start hoping and trusting in their money and their material things and physical things. We need to have a weaned child spirit in us that just simply hopes and trusts in God like the child does with his or her mother. You know, children, Mommy, can you show me? Can you show me how to do this? Can you help me with that? Right? But when we get older, we don't need that. We don't need anybody. We don't need help. We don't need anybody to help us or show us anything. We got it all figured out. Right? The little child just wants guidance. As an adult, we need a childlike spirit in us with regard to God. That each and every day we're going to let God guide us. We're not going to lean on our own understanding. We're going to trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5. God will guide us along the way. We need Him to help us make decisions in our marriage, in our parenting, in our home, in our family, in our Christian life. We need to be reading our Bible each and every day because we're looking for direction. Do I turn right or do I turn left as I go through life? And our young people need to know what's right and wrong and good and bad. And I need some help in these decisions. Is it God who is going to be giving us that? The little child just says to Mommy, will you show me the way? Let's not get too big for guidance. Proverbs 25 and verse 5, guide me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee do I wait all the day. Adults, when they get bigger, well, we don't need guidance anymore. I remember doing that when I hit the teenage years. Dad would be showing me something, and I'd be like, oh, I got it. And then I mess it up, or I get hurt. He's like, okay. You ever done that before? Oh, yeah, I got that. No. Well, that's what we do. As we get a little bit older, we're doing that with God. We need to maintain that childlike quality. When I was a toddler, I said, Daddy, can you? When I was a teenager, I'm like, yeah, I got that. With our Heavenly Father, we need to keep saying, Father, Heavenly Father, I need you to keep guiding me with your truth. Psalm 48 and verse 14. I want us to have a weaned child spirit within us today and each day that we live. We all face things throughout the day, throughout the week, challenges that we're going through. Let's face them with a weaned child spirit. Psalm 48 and verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will guide us even unto death. Let that be our motto. Along the same lines, little children are dependent on Mommy. Mommy, I need you. I need you to do this for me. I need you to help me with this. Dependence. They need help getting dressed. They need help eating. They need help with their daily activities. And they readily admit that. But when we get older, I don't need help anymore. We get independent. We grow away from the one whom we need to rely upon. We do our own thing. Burger King, have your own way. Do it my way. The way I want to live. The way I want to conduct my marriage and family and so forth. So now I'm independent. And I don't need God anymore. But when we're little, we need mommy. A weaned child can teach us a lot. That's why I believe Jesus was so incensed. This wasn't just Jesus being a little miffed. It's a strong word. He was indignant. You let those children come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You adults out there who think you've got it all figured out, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like right here. So, it's a great reminder for us to go back and have that childlike quality in our lives. And I'm not even listing all of them this morning. There's some others that we could look at. I'm listing some of the main ones that have come to my mind. But dependence. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, when he was talking about various trials that he was going through, he said that brought out in his life a dependence upon God. We ourselves have had the sentence of death within ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. We always have to be dependent and trust in God, and He will supply every need of ours. Philippians 4:19. Not every want. A lot of things we want in life, but He will supply every need. And there have been some folks in the recent problems that we've had who have had special needs now. And I want us to remember that God will supply all of those. You know, children run to mommy for safety. You ever seen that? You know, you're out somewhere and a little toddler and mommy. Here comes a dog. What's the little child do? Runs and grabs mommy's leg. You ever seen that? Run over to mommy. Pick me up. Maybe a stranger comes by. Dog comes by. Something like that. Car's coming. Run to mommy. Why? That's where we go for protection. That's where we go for safety. Where do we go when we're an adult? We need to be running to God. Turn with me to Psalm 4 and verse 8. Psalm 4 and verse 8. Where do we go for safety and protection from the devil? Where do we go for safety and protection from the wicked people in the world? In peace will I both lay me down and sleep, for Thou, Jehovah, alone makest me dwell in safety. As we get older, we don't sleep as well. And here the psalmist is saying, I can sleep safely because I believe the Lord's going to provide that. When we get older, people rely upon money, as I said earlier. They rely upon human wisdom. God is not in their life. But we're going to turn to God for protection. The devil is roaming about like a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5. We need safety. We need protection from him. Do we utilize prayer? Deliver me from the evil one? Do we utilize Bible reading? Meditation? Do we utilize the church service? Do we utilize the local congregation, fellow Christians, for protection and safety from the things that are out in the world? As parents, we all want our children to be safe, right? I remember when Jessie went off to college, we loaded her up with so much pepper spray.
You spray everybody that comes up.
Sherry and I were worried. We want them to be safe. We want them to be protected. And when they're little, they run to us all the time. Let's run to God for that same when we need Him. And then last of all, yes, Mommy, I'll do that. Now, as we get on up in those teenage years, we're not saying, yes, Mommy, I'll do that as quickly as we were saying it when we were little, but Peter talks about how that we are to be children of obedience. When they're real little, they do what Mommy says, that they're right in there. In fact, do you remember when they were so little that they were volunteering to do extra stuff? Remember that? You give them a job, and, well, Mommy, what else can I do? Remember that? But when we get older, we move in that other direction often. And Peter says that we need to be like with our Heavenly Father, children of obedience. And so obeying God's Word each and every day is extremely important. Just like children of obedience. I want us to have a childlike trust in the Lord today. And I hope that we'll meditate on Psalm 131. Is our soul within us like a weaned child, little three-year-old? Is our soul within us like that today? If not, let's make that change. If it's more pride than humility, let's make that change. If it's more turmoil instead of peace and trust, let's make that change. If it's more disregarding God rather than hoping and trusting in Him, let's make that change. If it's more, I got it figured out rather than guidance, let's make that change. If it's more, I don't need you than dependence, then let's make that change. If it's more turning to the world than turning to the Lord for safety, let's make that change. And if it's more disobedience than obedience, let's make that change. Can we be a weaned child? Like I said before, our children have gotten older, and that's the natural process. That's what goes on. We all grow up. But there's been some times where I've seen Beckett. He's displaying those qualities that we read about when Jesus talks about let the little children come. And it was a reminder to me that, hey, let's explore that again. And one day I was reading Psalm 131 and I realized, you know, there it is right there. Let's have that quality in us. And I hope that that will encourage us this morning. Maybe someone this morning needs to come with that childlike approach of obedience. We can assist you in doing that. If one of us needs to come back in some way for help, we can pray together. But let's go throughout this week with that quality. Jesus said that's the very thing that makes up the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes it's good for us as adults, our teenagers, young college age folks, adults, to go back and look at being like those little children again. If we can help you in some way, why wouldn't you come as we stand and as we sing?